For our scripture reading this morning, we turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Receive instruction from God's Word this morning as it comes to us from Lord's Day 43 in the Heidelberg Catechism. And in connection with that, we read 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or as a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gifts of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long, and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity. These three, but the greatest of these is charity. As far as we read the Word of God this morning, it's on the basis of that passage and the rest of Scripture that we consider Lord's Day 43, question and answer 112 of the Heidelberg Catechism this morning. What is required in the ninth commandment? That I bear false witness against no man, nor falsify any man's words, that I be no backbiter nor slanderer, that I do not judge nor join in condemning any man rashly or unheard, but that I avoid all sorts of lies and deceit as the proper works of the devil, unless I would bring down upon me the heavy wrath of God. Likewise, that in judgment and all other dealings, I love the truth, speak it uprightly, and confess it, also that I defend and promote, as much as I am able, the honor and good character of my neighbor. Beloved congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, the God of Israel and the church who gave us the ninth commandment is the God of truth. So says Deuteronomy 32, verse 4. He is a God of truth and without iniquity. God declares Himself in His Word in Jeremiah 10, verse 10, to be the true God. And therefore, according to Psalm 119, verse 60, God's Word is true from the beginning. God is not a liar, cannot tell a lie, because that would mean that He is not the true God, and that in Him there is iniquity. But because He is the true God, who never lies, God hates all lying. And God's hatred of lying is what is expressed in this ninth commandment. Of course God hates all lying. The lie is the tool or the weapon that is used by the devil and the enemies of God to attack every single word that comes from God's mouth. The truth of God that He is God. The lie is used to attack and to deny that God is God. The truth of the Word that God, through Jesus Christ, gives salvation to men. The truth of the Gospel concerning Jesus Christ. The lie is used to deny and to attack the Gospel of Jesus Christ that comes from God. The lie is hated by God because it is the tool used to attack every truth of God revealed in the Scriptures. But not only that, we must understand this morning that in forbidding the lie, God is not only forbidding that which contradicts His Word, but God is forbidding that which attacks and contradicts His very being and character. You and I need to understand the seriousness of this morning. When we lie, we are not only speaking an untruth, speaking something that attacks and contradicts a word from God, but we are, when we lie, actually taking hold of or attempting to take hold of and to attack and to destroy the very nature and character of God Himself. This is what the Apostle John teaches in 1 John 1, verse 10, where he speaks of a man saying he's not a sinner. And John's explanation of that is not only that one who says, I'm not a sinner, is a liar who has spoken an untruth, but John says it's much worse than that. If you say that you're not a sinner, you're not only contradicting what God has said, but you are making God a liar. You are attacking the very character of God, saying He's not a God of truth, not a God who is perfect and spotless and without iniquity. But when you lie, you are actually saying, and God's a liar, and God approves of lying and of untruth. And that's really what the devil, who is the father of the lie, was doing in the very beginning. He not only lied about God's Word, saying to Eve there in the garden, God didn't really say this. That was really the first thing He was trying to suggest. He's lying about God. God didn't really say this. But He actually pointed His finger right at God, saying to Eve, You don't want to believe this God who has spoken to you that if you eat that fruit that you will die, because you have to understand God is a liar. He's deceived you into thinking that. And the devil lied and said, if you eat the fruit, you'll be like God. But do you understand? Do you see the point? When we break the ninth commandment and lie, we are not only contradicting the Word of God, but we are attacking God Himself, His own character and being. So in the ninth commandment, when God forbids us to bear false testimony, God reveals that He's the God of truth, the God who hates all lying. And He reveals to us as His people that as His people, we are required also to hate and to forsake all lying and to speak the truth. This is a matter of love now, remember. This is a matter of love for God as our God who has saved us, who has redeemed us through the blood of Jesus Christ, who's delivered us from that relationship that we had with the devil, the father of lies, who has now made us His children. We are the children of the God of truth. And God, in gratitude and in love for Him, calls us now to speak the truth. But then also to speak the truth about and in love for the neighbor. The ninth commandment even mentions the neighbor. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Don't hate your neighbor and do that. Love your neighbor. Avoid all lies and speak the truth. Do that as those who are called to reflect God now. His children speak the truth. So we consider this morning, this Lord's Day, under the theme, Forbidden to Lie. We're going to notice in the first place the obedience demanded by this commandment. And then secondly, we are going to consider the possibility of obeying this commandment. And then thirdly, the blessing of obedience. In the ninth commandment, what is the sin that God forbids? Children, when you go home, do not simply say this. God, in the ninth commandment, says, do not lie. That, of course, is on the foreground. God forbids false witness. He forbids lying in the ninth commandment. But you see in the Catechism's explanation of this commandment that the Catechism broadens things out. It teaches that God hates every sin that is committed with the tongue. God hates all evil speaking. So, children, when your parents, maybe at the dinner table today, ask you, what is the sin God forbids in the ninth commandment? Say this. All evil speaking. God hates all evil speaking. So, to use the language of Scripture, we are called by the ninth commandment to bridle our tongues, to keep our tongues from every sin that could be committed with our tongues. We need to say with the psalmist the words that he penned in Psalm 39 this morning. In Psalm 39, verse 1, where the psalmist says, I will take heed to my ways that I sin not with my tongue. I will keep my mouth with a bridle while the wicked is before me. You see, our tongues are so evil by nature, and we still have our old nature with us yet, as regenerated people, and therefore we are so capable of so much evil with our tongues, we need a bit put in our mouths so that a bridle can be used to pull us back, to stop us from committing all kinds of evil with our tongues. Bridling our tongues and mouths to stop evil speech is wisdom. According to Solomon in Proverbs 4, verse 24, put away from thee a froward mouth and perverse lips far from thee. So this morning, you and I must ask ourselves this. Do we have a bridle on our tongues to keep us from all forms of evil speaking? Well, that bridle is the ninth commandment. With the ninth commandment this morning, God comes to us and says, pull back, stop from all evil speaking. Now, the catechism does go on to show us that this begins with bearing false witness. God certainly demands that we do not lie this morning, that we do not bear false witness against the neighbor. This is called perjury. This is called lying under oath. The grossest form of this sin takes place in the courtroom when one has said, maybe with a hand on the Bible, I swear to tell the truth. One has said, probably invoking the name of God, I swear by the name of God to tell the truth. And yet that one deliberately tells a lie. That is a very gross form of sin that is very common in the world today, all throughout our nation. Perhaps every weekday when court is in session, there are many people who will put their hands on the Bible, swear to tell the truth, nothing but the truth, and then go on and lie. Well, maybe we don't do it in that formal of a setting, but this might happen in our homes. This might happen in our relationships, maybe with our school fellows. And we're not put under oath by a judge, but we put ourselves under oath. I promise, I swear. We might say those words when we know that we intend not to do the thing we promise. That's perjury. That's bearing false witness. The Word of God pulls back on our tongues and says, do not lie under oath. But next, the Catechism says we are to bridle our tongues by not falsifying any man's words. This is done in a debate or in an argument. Words that are spoken or written are lifted out of context for the purpose of trying to make a person say something different from what he actually says or from what she actually says. To make him say more, to make him say less, or to make him say the exact opposite of what he actually said. To falsify another person's words, lift them out of context, to twist them in order to make that other person look as bad and as evil possible. It's very common in political speech, isn't it? We see that in the context of the election and in the context of the campaigns looking forward to the primaries and the election in the next year. This past week, one of the candidates was attacked in this way. His words were lifted out of context. And the media loves to take hold of sound bites. Why? Little sound bites, little pieces of someone's speech in order to twist, in order to spin, in order to falsify, in order to make someone look bad. This happens, sadly, in Christian homes. And in the Christian church too. How often do you hear people say in the midst of an argument, "I didn't say that"? Now they could be lying. It's hard to know, isn't it, often? But it could be that they are telling the truth, and that it's a husband or a wife or a brother or a sister who is falsifying the other person's words. How often does that happen? That you have that motive to make the other person look as bad as possible and yourself look good. So you just slightly change, slightly take away or add to the words of another. God in the ninth commandment pulls back on our tongue. He says, don't do that. It's lying. It's sin against me. And then the catechism goes on to explain that the ninth commandment bridles our tongues from slandering and backbiting. Slandering. That's not only to tell a lie against the neighbor. That's not only to tell an untruth. But slandering is malicious. Slandering has the motive of what can I say about the neighbor in order to assassinate the neighbor's character, to tear apart his reputation, to destroy his name or her name. This too is a very common sin. People will make up stories to harm the neighbor's character and reputation. That's done in the world and in the church. And we as Christians ought to be especially sensitive to slander. That was the tool, one of the tools, you know, used by the devil to crucify our Lord Jesus Christ. When he was on trial, even though Jesus never said it, it was said he would tear down the temple. And when he was on trial, even though he never said it, he was accused of saying, "I will be king instead of Caesar." False witnesses came forward, slandered Jesus Christ. And it was on the basis of that testimony that he was nailed to the cross. This was also the tool used to persecute and even to put early Christians to death. What was it that the Jews did to the first martyr, Stephen? They brought forth false witnesses to slander him, to say things about him that were untrue, to say, "Here is a man who hates and who opposes Moses," even though that wasn't true. But on the basis of that slander, Stephen was stoned to death. Slander is not only the tool of Satan, but understand this morning, that is his name. His name is not only Satan the adversary, but his name is Devil, the slanderer, the one who slanders God, the one who contradicts God's truth, and everything about God, the one who slanders and accuses God's people. So in the ninth commandment, God says, you are not to be of the devil. He's not your father. You're to be of me and not slander. Tell the truth. But also backbiting is forbidden by the ninth commandment. And here it becomes very clear that in the ninth commandment, God is not only saying, do not lie, but God comes and he yanks on the bridle and he says, you do not backbite. And backbiting doesn't always involve lying. Backbiting involves speaking often the truth, but speaking the truth in a malicious way, speaking the truth in a way that we know will hate the neighbor, hurt the neighbor. Oh yes, it's true that the classmate is fat. So I'm going to say that to others, knowing that when I say he's fat, that I'm hurting him, mocking him. Or maybe true that that classmate is not as intelligent, so I'll tell others he or she is dumb. This may be speaking truth that is personally harmful, backbiting, or it may be speaking about the sins, the embarrassing activities or actions of others. Love, we read in 1 Corinthians 13, rejoiceth in, not in iniquity, but sin does. And because we by nature rejoice in iniquity, we like to talk about the shameful, sinful actions of others, going behind their backs, gossiping. It happens, so we think we may talk about it. We see that so-and-so has a bad marriage. We see that so-and-so is not a very good husband, and we think that that's a subject we may talk about because it's true. We may see strife in a family. We may see conflict in a family. We may have heard that someone has committed the sin of adultery or drunkenness or some other notorious sin, and then we think that's a subject about which we may talk because it's true, and we may talk about them behind their backs. God in the ninth commandment says, no, I put a bridle on your tongues, and I tell you, all of the gossip and the whispering behind other people's backs must come to a stop. And the Catechism speaks of judging rashly or unheard. This is, again, not necessarily the sin of speaking a lie, but it is the sin of thinking that you can determine the truth and make a judgment based on the testimony of one side. May not do that. The judge may not do that in the courtroom. Elders may not do that in the consistory room when they are judging cases. You as members of the congregation, when you hear something bad about someone, you may not, on the basis of the testimony of one side, make a judgment and think evil of that other person. 1 Corinthians 13 says that's not what love does. Charity does not think evil, but thinketh all things, thinketh the best. But when the Catechism says that judging unheard is forbidden, understand that it's saying more than that we must be careful to hear both sides of the story. But the Catechism is saying here really that we need not only to bridle our tongues, but sometimes we need to bridle our ears. Sometimes we as Christians, in order to avoid sin against the ninth commandment, need to keep our ears from hearing evil speech or from hearing speech that we have no business hearing. And sometimes then too, we need to bridle the evil tongue of the neighbor, not only my own tongue, but I sometimes need to say to the neighbor, no, don't say that. Don't talk about this to me or to anyone else. This does not honor God. This does not build up and seek the welfare of the neighbor. And the Catechism keeps going. And it says, the ninth commandment forbids all sorts of lies and deceits. You see, the Catechism is saying to us this morning, the human heart is very inventive. The human heart is very clever. It's impossible really to cover all of the ways that we as human beings can not only speak lies, but through actions and gestures live lies. We could come up with many ways to deceive and to lie and to defraud. The Catechism could come to us with a long list of the sins that are to be avoided and say the Word of God has put a bridle on you and tells you to stop all these sins. And the Catechism is saying, but we can't cover them all. You'll come up with even more ways to lie and to deceive. And so we need to be careful this morning. Probably the Catechism especially means this. When it says all lies, we need to be careful for those little lies. We call them little lies, white lies. We think they are harmless. Well, the Word of God says that every single word, every idle word even, will be judged by God. And the fact is, too, that the sin of lying is very dangerous. It is very addictive. It is very ensnaring. You think that you can get away with that little white lie, and then how often don't you find that that lie leads to another, a bigger lie, and pretty soon what started as a little lie becomes a very monumental lie. And one thing that is of very important, practical importance this morning, people of God, is that we, as Christians, be careful about doing things in secret and live lives of deceit. That's how addictions begin and how they are lived out. This is what people who are involved in addictions, this is how they live. The man addicted to alcohol probably began stealing drinks in secret, and then pretty soon he's involved in this secret life. He tries to hide from his wife and from the other members of the church. He has bottles all around the house that no one else knows about. This is the way that people who are addicted to pornography live. They live secret lies, deceitful lies, a lie, hiding privately what they do so that publicly they look differently. This is also true of the anorexic. Hiding, living in secret, so that others won't see how I eat. Others won't see how much I exercise. Others won't see how much I'm addicted to this thing in my life. Beloved, as the people of God, there are things, of course, that we may keep in secret. We don't have to tell everyone everything about our lives, but we as Christians are called to live in such a way that we are not living a lie. We are not living in hypocrisy. So that the way that we live in public gives a good representation of this is the way I live in private. I love God, and I live for God, and I live transparently for God. And I don't try to hide or to deceive by living in sin. So that's all demanded by the first half of the answer here. But then the Catechism goes on to say, likewise, that in judgment and in all other dealings, I love the truth, speak it uprightly, and confess it. Also that I defend and promote as much as I am able the honor and good character of my neighbor. The Catechism is really quoting almost from Ephesians 4 verse 25, where the requirement is not only this, that I do not lie, but that I speak the truth, but that I speak the truth in love. Love that is for the neighbor, that does not desire his hurt, but that desires his welfare. Love that, according to 1 Corinthians 13, verse 8, never fails. Love that, according to verse 4 of 1 Corinthians 13, suffers long. It's a long-suffering love. Which means that the neighbor is often hard to love. And the husband who is told perhaps by a pastor or someone else in the church, you're not treating your wife the right way with your mouth, he might say, but you don't understand what she said to me. You don't understand the way she treated me. Or another member of the church who is admonished for the way that he is speaking about and treating another member of the church might say, but you don't understand what has been done, what has been said about me. And the response is, that's no excuse for slander, for gossip, backbiting. Love suffers long and speaks the truth in love. Always. Now apply this to your tongues. What is the bridle? The ninth commandment. Well, let's add to that now love. Love for God. Love that says, I will not lie. I will not serve the devil and deny God or His truth. But I will love and I will serve God, and I will love and speak the truth about God's creature, my neighbor. Love must govern how we speak. So that we always ask this question, is what I am about to speak honoring to God? And if it's not, I pull back on the bridle. And I cover my mouth, stop my tongue. And the same applies to the neighbor now. Is what I am about to say for the welfare of my neighbor, my spouse, my classmate? And if it's not, then I pull back on the bit and shut my mouth in love. Do not ever speak to your neighbor. Your spouse, your children, your brothers, your sisters, without love. So what is it that God requires in the ninth commandment? These two things. That I control my tongue to keep it from speaking all evil. And to speak always in love for God and the neighbor. Now that's very difficult. In fact, that's impossible, really. This is what James tells us in James chapter 3, verses 6 through 8. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature. And it is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beasts, and of birds, and of serpents, and of things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. James explains that by nature, the tongue is unconquerable for man. And he goes on to explain why that is when he asks, can a fig tree produce olive berries or an olive plant produce figs? We might ask it this way, can an orange tree produce apples or an apple tree produce oranges? And the question is really this, can a tongue that is governed by an evil heart speak anything loving to God or the neighbor? And the answer is no. And so with our tongues, controlled by evil hearts, we as human beings have set the world on fire and have spread iniquity, the iniquity of hell, throughout the world. The unbridled tongue is used by man to break every commandment. The tongue is used to worship other gods. The tongue is used to take God's name in vain. The tongue is used to spread lies and to contradict the gospel of Jesus Christ. The tongue is used by children to dishonor their parents and by many in society to dishonor those who are in authority over them. The tongue is used to spread lewdness and perverse speech of all kinds throughout the world. Think of how the tongue is used to spread iniquity. All the lies told by the news media, all of the lies and the propaganda spread in the universities of this world, so that almost everyone in the world has been taught and believes that God didn't create the world, but believes in the lie of evolution, of a Big Bang that started it all, and of the fact that man came from monkeys. The world is full of evil spread by the tongue. Think of the entertainment industry, the music, and the drama of the world. Who can tame the tongue? God can. God can. Love rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in truth. And what the Apostle Paul is saying here in 1 Corinthians 13 is that this is what he now rejoiceth in. He now rejoices in the truth. He was a liar. He was a liar who denied that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. But now the Apostle Paul recognizes that the Spirit has worked in him. You have to go back to chapter 12 where the Apostle speaks of the gifts of the Spirit. The gift of the Spirit is prophecy. The gift of the Spirit is government. There are many gifts of the Spirit. But then in chapter 13, he says, and here is the great gift of the Spirit, charity. The Lord Jesus Christ, when he sends his Spirit into the hearts of his people, he delivers them from their old lying nature and makes them to be a people who rejoice in the truth. To confess the truth of the gospel, that salvation is through Jesus Christ, and then to speak the truth in every area of their lives. In other words, God, through Jesus Christ, brings salvation to people who are by nature liars. Abraham, who twice told the lie that Sarah was his sister and not his wife. Jacob, who's known for his deception, especially of his father Isaac, but also of his brother Esau. David, who lied for 9 months, lived a lie covering his sin. Paul, who rejected the truth of Jesus Christ, and Peter, who 3 times said, I don't know him, I don't know him, I don't know him. All of them were covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. All of them were forgiven their sins. But then all of them received the Spirit of Jesus Christ that led them to repent, that led them to hate that sin of lying, so that they no longer want to live in that sin, but bridle their tongues, as David said in Psalm 39. Beloved, God who has redeemed us gives us this grace that we need to bridle our tongues, so that we stop all evil speaking about God and the neighbor. We speak always in love. And what a blessing. What a blessing that gift of God is, that we may bridle the tongue. First of all, that means we're kept from all kinds of evil. The tongue is not only a great tool for sin and iniquity, but it is a great tool for not only causing division and strife, but actually destroying relationships. It's bad enough, isn't it, when the tongue strains a relationship, takes away the joy of a relationship, and causes misery in a marriage or in a home or in the church. But the tongue does more than that. It separates friends so that the relationship is destroyed. It separates spouses so that they divorce one another and won't have a relationship with each other. It causes division and strife in the church. The tongue is also used to spread evil. If we do not bridle our tongues, we do not guard our tongues from bearing false witness, from gossip and slander, then evil will be spread throughout our homes, from parents to children and throughout our congregation. Do you want your children to learn evil? Of course, you don't want them to. Well, if you don't want them to learn evil, then bridle your tongues. And ultimately, be warned. If we use the tongue impenitently for evil, the Catechism says that will bring upon us the heavy wrath of God. On the other hand, using our tongues to love the truth and to speak the truth is a great blessing. What a blessing it is. Don't we realize that when a minister uses the tongue to preach the gospel of salvation for the saving of our souls? And what a blessing it is for us to be able to use our tongues to witness the gospel to others so that others may be gained to Jesus Christ. And for parents to use the tongue to take the truth that is precious to them and that they love and to hand that down to their children. What a blessing the peace and the unity that there is when in our marriages, in our homes, in our church, in our schools, we bridle our tongues. Next time the neighbor's tongue is used to slander you, to gossip, to backbite, and you hear about it, don't use your tongue to continue the strife and the division, seeking revenge by responding in kind. But use the soft answer. Turneth away wrath. Love God. Love your neighbor. May God give you the grace, and may God add the blessing, the unity and peace. Amen. Father in heaven, we thank Thee for Thy word. Apply it now to our hearts, that we may, in everything we say, and in everything we do, speak and walk honestly for the glory of Thy name, and for the good of the neighbor, not only, but especially the neighbor who is a brother and a sister in Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray, thanking Thee for our forgiveness. Amen.